to say I'm very grateful you are not right now. I just lost a best friend last week to OD, and it's been very hard on me because my kid is sitting right in front of you guys. And that's something that I just cherish very much. I am a prostitute, and I have multiple addictions, so I'm addicted to everything. And I actually have two sponsors that are here with me tonight, Jennifer and Danielle, and I'm very grateful because they've been with me this whole entire time. And it's been a rocky road, but I've met so many people in this group, and it's awesome because, you know, I actually have people that, you know, I can call on a daily basis, and they've gotten me through this. And I can say that I actually have my daughter with me today, so that's a blessing for me. I asked Danielle to speak for me because she's my sponsor. She's been my sponsor for the year, and listening to her story brought me to this point. And you know, I wouldn't be sitting here if I wouldn't have heard her story, and I wouldn't have just. She's an inspiration to me. She's been there for everything for me, and I thank you so much, both of you.
Sobriety date is January 2nd, 2007. I have a home group. This is my home group, best home group in the world. I have a sponsor, and I sponsor a few ladies. So with that, I grew up in Tampa, lived here pretty much all my life, 2 years in South Carolina. I think that's where I get the twang. I love it in Tampa. I mean, the AA is great in Tampa. There's just so many meetings to go to, and there's a great fellowship out here. So we're really blessed to be here, you know, and be in Tampa. And, you know, when I grew up, I lived in an alcoholic home. My father was an alcoholic. And, you know, it was just a really tumultuous, like, family dynamics. You know, it was always, you know, we went to church, you know, because I was in a Catholic school. And so it was always this pretty picture on the outside, but on the inside it was just, you know, a very insane, you know, life. Because you never knew what was going to happen when my dad came home. You know, he was always usually drunk when he came home, and there was a lot of fighting and verbal abuse. And, you know, it's just kind of hard to deal with growing up. So the way I kind of dealt with it was, you know, I tried to always get involved in my parents' fights, which is probably not the best thing to do when you're 7 years old, you know. Yeah, like, one parent saying to call the police and the other parent saying to, like, put down the phone, so you're just like, you know, what do you do? Like, I think that's why I'm so indecisive, you know, because I never knew what to do, and so that never worked out. But I did get raised with good morals, you know, like, they sent me, you know, to Catholic school. They tried their best, you know. I know what, you know, what's right and what's wrong, so I had no excuse when I started, you know, my alcoholism. And when I, as I got older, I guess, I had this idea that, because I did believe in God, you know, growing up, and, you know, like I said, I went to church and everything, but I always had this kind of notion that God didn't believe in me, so, and that God didn't love me, and that's why these things were happening to me, because I couldn't really understand, you know, why I would, you know, I would be living in this situation if God, you know, really did care about me, like, he should save me. And I think that's like a childhood view of God, you know. And but as I grew older, when my parents divorced when I was 11, I told my mom to divorce my dad because I couldn't take it anymore. And, you know, selfish and self-centered from the very beginning, you know. And I didn't realize, like, what my mom was going to go through when my parents got divorced. Like, she ended up getting a job in Orlando. She would drive to Orlando 5 days a week. You know, 2 hours in and back, you know, just to put food on the table and a roof over our heads, you know. And all I could think about was, like, awesome, you know. And but the downside was, like, my mom was just, you know, she was very, like, I mean, because it was such a strain on her, you know, she was very, like, you never knew how she was going to come home. Like, she was always upset. And so our relationship kind of just turned into something entirely different than what it was. And, you know, and that probably a lot of it had to do with, like, the teenage daughter and the mom, you know. Like, that always happens as we grow up sometimes. But it got really bad. And I wanted to move out when I was 13 years old. But, I kind of stuck with it. You know, I had this one counselor in school that's just like, 4 more years, you know, and I'm just like, oh, okay. And, but the way I dealt with it was, you know, I became a perfectionist, so I started getting straight A's in school, you know, I started getting in all sports, you know, I was like, you know, I got a full ride to USF, like I was a poster child, you know, and like nothing was, I always felt like not good enough though. You know, like, none of my accomplishments in high school were good enough. So from the very beginning, I felt different. I had very low self-esteem, and I always never felt like I belonged, you know. And I never belonged to a group of people. I was always this chameleon, and but I never felt like I belonged. And so that's a big thing. But I didn't drink until I was about 17 when I graduated high school. And it's funny that Josh spoke last week because my first drink was a Zima too. except mine had the Jolly Rancher in it, you know. Green Apple, that was my fave. And that was like that was it, you know, like I found my love. And it was my graduation from high school. And we went out, it was my cousin, his girlfriend, and my grandparents, you know. So we're at the beach for the weekend, which was, you know, we're like, oh, I can't wait till the old people go to sleep, you know, like, so we can go party, you know. And I ended up going, sorry, you know, that's inappropriate, but the older people, my grandparents. But after they went to sleep, you know, we were out kind of rummaging, you know, the beach, and that was the first night that, you know, I drank. I don't really even remember a lot of that night because I blacked out, like, the first time I drank. Big surprise. You know, and I blacked out, I drank, I smoked weed, I took Xanax, and I smoked cigarettes all in one night. And that was my first experience drinking. And it kind of was downhill from there, you know. And, you know, the one thing I do remember from that night, though, was that the way alcohol made me feel, and this is, like, a constant thing in my story, was that my cousin and her girlfriend, and his girlfriend got into, like, a really nasty altercation, and I remember them fighting, and my little sister, it was just like how it was when I was younger, you know, with my parents, and my little sister is, you know, screaming, you know, do something, like, break them up, blah, 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 and I just didn't care. I'm like, whatever, I'm going to sleep. You know, and I just didn't care. And that's what alcohol did for me. It gave me the ability not to care about anything, not to care about you, me, anybody around me, the people I love. And, you know, and that's kind of just how it went. And, you know, I know nobody gets here on an upward spiral, you know. And for me, like, it took me down a path like I never thought like I'd go. Like, that full scholarship that I got to college, you know, I got into college with the USF, like, I lost that in like 6 months. You know, because I just couldn't stop drinking and I couldn't stop using, and you know, that became more important. You know, that was a lot more important to me than my, you know, than my future. And you know, I had a lot of different personalities in my drinking. I was a chameleon. Like, when I was 18, I got into the whole Spanish thing. You know, I started claiming Colombianism. You know, I would curl my hair and like wear like little like chica stuff, and I hung around with the Spanish crowd, and like that was my identity. You know, like it was no more like the little schoolgirl making straight A's. Like, I'm now this chica from Colombia. You know, and then, you know. And back then, like, I definitely hit the bottom doing drugs, too, because that's a huge part of my story, because I started doing drugs a lot more in the beginning, because it's a lot easier to get when you're 18 years old, you know? And so I started doing that, and, you know, my dad, I lived with my father, because my mom and I just weren't getting along. So I moved in with my dad, and I, you know, I probably lived with him for about 4 months until he ended up dying from alcoholism. So, and I stayed in there for about a month after, like, my dad died. And, you know, after that experience, like, I really just, I was lost, you know. I was a lost little girl, and all I could do was, you know, do more drugs to kind of anesthetize the way I felt, you know, because I didn't want to live anymore, and I just couldn't, like I was, and I was a victim, you know, like I was a victim of circumstance. Like I always thought, like, you know, all this bad stuff happens to me, and that's the way, that's why I'm like this, you know. And I never took accountability and responsibility for, like, you know, for my actions. It was always somebody else's fault. And after my dad died, like, I also tried to kill myself, you know, and, you know, and that was my first bottom, you know, 18 years old. If I would have known about Alcoholics Anonymous, I would have been here a lot earlier, but nobody in my family was sober yet. And my dad's side of the family, like, alcoholism runs rampant, you know, like, we're either in jails, institutions, or dead. And the few of us are sober. And so that's exactly how it says in the book, you know, jails, institutions, and death. And so I'm very blessed to be standing up here, you know, because a lot of us don't make it. And, you know, so after my dad died, I kind of just started, like, doing a lot more drugs, you know, and drinking a lot more. And, you know, I met a guy, and, you know, he was my first boyfriend, and I loved him. And we met while I was trying to sell him ecstasy. And, you know, I thought I was going to be with him forever, you know. And, thank you, Esther. And, you know, then I took on this new identity, you know, like this new thing, and, like, we started drinking. And, you know, I got a DUI. Like, that's when I, and, you know, one thing to mention is, like, I heard a speaker say a long time ago here was, like, you remember your, on a 3x5 note card of your worst experiences drinking. And, like, that will just prove my unmanageability with alcoholism just in, like, one sentence. Like, my first one is that I got a DUI, you know, so I was, and then I blamed it that I've had cancer, you know, that's why I can't walk the line, you know, is because I'm on chemotherapy and I have no equilibrium, that's why I got arrested. And, you know, I did have cancer when I was 21, you know, I got diagnosed with breast cancer, I had to go through 6 months of chemotherapy, and the insanity of that is that I was still drinking every single night, and I was still at the bar every single night, and I didn't want to tell my doctors about it because I didn't want them to tell me that I couldn't drink, you know, because I knew it was wrong, because I know you're not supposed to drink on antibiotics, you know, like, so obviously you're not supposed to drink on chemotherapy, okay? Like, that's just awful, and but I still did, and I didn't care, you know, I still did anyways, and so I got a DUI. The next one is that I jumped out of a moving vehicle, okay? People that are normal don't jump out of moving vehicles, I hear. So this is while I have cancer, which makes it even worse. So I have a wig on, okay? And my boyfriend would not stop the car, and I was angry with him, you know, because it was probably 3 o'clock in the morning. He was telling me it was time to go home, club's over, yada, yada. So I'm like, you know, stop the vehicle, like, I'm mad. Whatever. So he's like, I'm not going to stop the car. And I was like, you know what? You know, for me, I'm going to get out whether you stop the car or not. You know? And I had this idea that I'd be able to just jump out and keep running. You know? But it didn't happen that way. You know, so I plummet, you know, and I'm rolling and I hit my head twice. You know, it's 40 miles an hour. Like, I'm going pretty fast. So I have, like, these two huge welts on my head. And my wig is, like, 100 yards away. And it's like a tumbleweed, you know? So it's like this tumbleweed. And I'm trying to put it on, okay? Because God forbid anybody see me like this. after I just, like, jumped out of the car. And I'm bleeding, you know, from my, like, shoulders down to the mid-back. And, you know, he thought he ran me over because he landed on my shoe. And so he's scared to death. And he's, like, running after me. And I'm just like, oh, no. Like, back up. Like, I said a few choice words, obviously, and I was like, take me to the hospital, you know. And that was my second experience, you know. And my third one was, like, you know, I cut my foot on a piece of glass while drinking, cut an artery, you know, like, I had the worst luck. And I had to go to the hospital that night, too. And I, you know, my reasoning was, like, just put a band-aid on it, it'll be just fine, you know. And they're like, no, it's an artery, you know. And, you know, I've never gone to the hospital besides, you know, having cancer, obviously, you know, other than drinking, you know, like, drinking is, like, the, you know, pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. Like, I felt that, like, every single night I drank, because I blacked out every single night I drank. And, you know, what happened was that I was 25 years old. It was the New Year's Eve, you know, that's the last time I drank. I was at the Hard Rock Casino, because, you know, that's what I did. And, I just, like, looked at myself in the mirror, and I was just like, my God, like, what have I become? You know, I'm 25, I have no education, you know, working. I'm not even working anymore because I quit my job because I couldn't show up anymore because, you know, of alcoholism. And I really thought I was going crazy because my ideas in my head were just like the committee was going, like going, 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 and would not stop. And I prayed to God that morning, and I'm like, I got on my knees and I just asked him, like, please help me or please take me because I can't do this anymore. Like, all I want is 1 second of serenity, and I couldn't even get that anymore because I couldn't stand myself. Like, I hated myself, and I hated the way I felt, and I couldn't even, like, sit at my house for 15 minutes, you know, because, you know, like, my skin would crawl, and I had to go. You know, so my relationships with my family were, like, you know, destroyed, you know, because, like, I would call my mom at 3 o'clock in the morning and just, like, you know, either cuss her out or she would think I got kidnapped because I'm all mumbled and she can't understand me and I just don't show up, you know. And, like, the trauma that I caused my family and friends was just unbelievable. And so that night I went out again and, you know, something happened that night, which was kind of like my moment of clarity. I didn't get drunk and I wasn't sober though, but I couldn't get drunk. And all I did was watch my best friend. And she was my running mate and we did everything together. And I just watched her and like she was falling down. She, you know, I saw the people, how they looked at her with just utter disgust, you know. And I'm just like, wow, you know, they look at me like that too. And so I knew something started to change at that point. And on New Year's Day, when I went to my family's house, they did an intervention on New Year's Day dinner. You know, it's like, yay, it's a new year, get sober. And they told me, like, we think you have a problem with alcohol, and we think you would benefit if we sent you to treatment. And this was my cousin, and I'm like, you're an alcoholic too. You know, like, why am I going to treatment? But I did, and that's when I first got introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, at Turning Point is where I went 3 years ago. And, you know, they taught me how to, you know, I had to go to a meeting every single day. I had to get a support network. I was supposed to call 5 women a day, and I thought that was ridiculous. Like, I was like, I don't even like girls, much less I'm going to call like 5 of them. You know, like, no, it just doesn't work. And I was there willingly, if you can believe that. I was there willingly, and I was already making demands. And my first day of treatment, I got dressed up, like, really pretty, you know, because I wanted everybody to know I was going to get help from my alcoholism, you know. And that was, like, my whole way of, like, as long as everything's good on the outside, you know, like, I'm okay. You know, yet you can't see right through me, and I feel horrible. So I got put on this slob assignment, so I couldn't wear makeup, I couldn't do my hair, I couldn't match my clothes, for God's sake. And then I started crying every single day. You know, and that was the beginning of my recovery when I started crying and I started to realize that my life is completely unmanageable when I drink alcohol. And when I was in treatment, you know, like they told me to get a sponsor, so I got a sponsor and I met my first sponsor here in my home group. And, you know, she got me really actively involved in service. You know, she made me, you know, greet. I was like an awful greeter because I just did not know how to shake someone's hand and introduce myself. Like, I was so shy. Like, so shy because I was afraid of what you were going to think about me. And I didn't think that you would want to be my friend if you knew the things I did. And, you know, I did my, you know, I got involved in detox. She made me have this detox commitment at this, I guess it's ACTS. It's like a juvenile detox center. And I had that commitment for a year of my sobriety. And I was still, like, really resentful. You know, I was not happy to be here. I was a mean little person. And I let everybody know it. You know, like, I do not like you, and I'm not happy to be here. And it took me a long time to get happy in Alcoholics Anonymous. And the way that happens is when I build my relationship with God. And that's, like, the only time that I find true happiness and serenity is when I am fully fulfilled in my relationship with my higher power. And I just choose Him to call. You know, I choose to call Him God, for lack of a better term. And, you know, I did my second and third step with my sponsor, and, you know, it really, like, the miracle didn't happen right away, you know, because I was probably in here for about 15 months before I actually felt a little bit of relief for myself, really. And, you know, like, but there were times, like, in the first year of my sobriety where I would get that little hint, you know, like that little moment of serenity, and that would keep me going. You know, because I'm like, well, if I got it this time, maybe it'll come again. You know, and then my sponsor kept telling me, don't leave till the miracle happens. You know, and I never believed that this would work for me because I just always thought that too many things have happened. You know, I was just a victim. You know, like, all this stuff has happened to me and it's just never going to get better. And I guess this is just my life. You know, I'm just stuck here. And I, you know, yay. And like today, it's just amazing, you know, like how it's, you know, transformed in my life, because, you know, that miracle did happen, you know, and I don't feel the way I did when I first walked in the door. And, you know, my life today consists of, like, the girls I sponsor. You know, I'm actually moving into a halfway house in, like, a week and a half, you know, to be a house manager. So I'll be able to help a whole bunch of girls get sober, you know, and just, you know, spread kind of, like, I always like the whole concept of, like, you have to give it away to keep it, you know, and that's what really, what it means to me today is, like, I have to give this away or I can't keep it. And, you know, I'm in nursing school. I'm going to be a nurse in 7 months. And those are all just, like, material things, but, you know, like, that's all because of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, like, every single thing in my life is because of AA. You know, and I love AA and, like, what it's done in my life and, like, even my relationship with God. You know, like, I came to know God through Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and that's what my sponsor did for me is, like, after I did the steps and had a spiritual awakening, you know, it gave me that ability to have a relationship with my higher power. And, you know, another thing that I really like, too, is, like, my service that I did probably about 3 years ago is, like, a heck of a lot different than what I have to do today, you know, to stay sober. Like, I still do the same things. I still go to a meeting every single day. I still call my sponsor. I still pray in the morning. I still hang out with other people in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I hold service positions at, you know, district and central office, and I'm a board member for central office. And those are the things, like, define, like, the workings and how AA works, like, that really interests me. And so I've been doing that lately. And, you know, another really cool thing is that, because I never thought it'd be any fun. Like, I thought it was just going to be doom, gloom, Jesus and ginger ale kind of thing. And, you know, it's not like that at all. Like, I thought my life was over. Like, I was like, man, no one's getting sober in 25, you know? And I was like, and coming here is, like, a lot of people are a lot younger than I am, so I was, like, surprised. I'm like, well, this kid's 16, what's going on? You know? So I was really surprised to find out that a lot of young people are getting sober, you know? And that was really cool, because I totally thought I was going to be playing solitary, you know, for the rest of my life. And I was okay with that, because that's what it came to, you know? I was completely okay with that, because my life was so awful before. I was willing to take anything, you know? Anything was better than what I was living and enduring in my drinking. And, you know, for me, like, you know, like, I tried everything drinking. Like, I even got baptized, for goodness sake, you know, because I thought that was my problem, you know, like, I was just a bad person. Then I was going to join the military because I thought I needed discipline, you know, but they wouldn't let me in because I had cancer, so I'm like, oh, the cancer again, you know. And, you know, so I tried everything. Like, I tried, like, you know, I was managing my drinking for the last 7 years from the first time I picked up, you know. It was like, oh, like, let's try wine, let's try beer, you know, all about more about alcoholism. Like, I tried everything and nothing worked. You know, like, this is the only thing that's worked for me is, you know, going to a meeting every single day and talking to my sponsor and getting honest, you know, like, that honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, you know. And I've been told, like, all I need is just a little bit of willingness, you know, just a little bit, you know, to get myself to a meeting, you know, or to call that person, you know, call that new girl, you know, lend my hand out, you know, like how it was given to me when I first got here. Because if my sponsor didn't do that to, you know, with me, like, I wouldn't be here today. Like, that girl, like, answered my calls at 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, my God, you know, and I would call her on my way to work crying. Like, oh my God, I have to work 8 to 5. It's awful, you know. And today I have to wake up at 5:30 to go to clinicals, you know. Like, my gosh, how far we've come, you know. And I'm there on time every day. Like, every day. It's a miracle. Like, that's a miracle. You know, like, my work ethic is, like, amazingly transformed. And, like, that's what it's all about is change, you know. And we definitely have to change if we want to stay here. And I've always heard, like, you know, if we don't change, our sobriety date will. And that's so true for me. And I have to continuously, you know, do the things that I do when I was taught here when I first walked in. You know, when I first walked in, the same things I did then are the same things I do today. Just a little bit different sometimes, you know. But I'm really grateful to be here. You know, thank you, Bethany, for being in my life. I'm really proud of you. And thanks for letting me be of service.